Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know how many times he taught her a lesson that she learned. Maybe a little too well, cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you in time. Soon enough, you're gonna know why. It's gonna home and babies. He started coming home late at night. She didn't let him see it break her heart. She didn't let him see her fall apart. 'Cause cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you. Come home. This is it. I think he's dying. She laid the phone down by his head. The last words that he said, cowgirl, don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life, sure, it's all in time. Too soon, God will let you know why. If you fall, get right back home. The good Lord calls everybody home. Cowgirl, don't cry.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles and this is my dear friend and co-host Jolene Brightson Treadway. Welcome back, Jolene. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. I've certainly had a long journey so far as being hospitalized, and I thank you very much for that warm welcome. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just glad that everything went well and you're back.
Things seem different. I don't remember a whole lot. I have to laugh at my own self, otherwise I'd cry. But there's some things I don't even, strangely enough, I don't know, I don't remember. And it just, when somebody tells me something, I'm just like, no. But it's slowly, I think it'll come back.
It will. It takes time. I know anybody going under anesthesia has memory loss.
Yeah.
I've done it three times, so so
yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Kind of makes you feel weird.
Yes, it does. Well, are you ready for to get started with tonight's show?
I sure am.
Okay, well, we're going to have an interesting show tonight. We have about three different topics we want to talk about. The first one being the Knolls. They are in California. They're a 6,000-year-old burial site, and they are in the process of trying to protect that burial site right now. We are going to have some of the people that are out there protecting this site on the show at a later date. So if anybody wants to find out more information on it, you can go to savethenoles.org. And if you want to help anyway, whether it's by donations or even going out and standing alongside of them, please do. The second topic tonight, which we're going to get a little bit more in-depth with right now, is about an article that I saw that came across the internet that a lady, her name is Cindy Jacobs. She claims that the events that they had done in prayer that Governor Rick Perry had in August, his prayer rally, healed the Native Americans and cured them from their cannibalistic curse. I did send an email out to her Facebook page requesting that she join us on the show. Obviously, she has not done that. As a matter of fact, she did not respond to me. So I guess this evening we're going to discuss some of the stuff that was said. For me, when I sat and I listened to her words, I wanted to ask her what was her proof. Never have I ever known of any American Indians to be cannibalistic, ever.
It does not exist. I personally, I know this is starting it off, but this is from me, Bright Sun, to her directly, and I do hope she is listening, that throughout the history of our American Indian culture, Miss Cindy Jacobs, there has never been cannibalism in our culture. There may be in yours, wherever you may come from, but there certainly isn't in ours. We have cherished and lived and drummed and danced with Mother Earth, but we have not in any way ever, would never participate in cannibalism. I do not know where you got your information from, but I can set you straight real quick. And if you would like to speak with me, I have plenty to say to you. So this is a direct challenge to you to stand up and or shut up, one or the other, because you have no idea how many American Indians you have insulted. And with saying that, those that are listening will not forget your name.
No, definitely. Oh, you're welcome. Definitely not. Now, it's going to get a little bit more intense because I am going to start reading off some of her stuff and want to quote some of her words.
Okay.
And she started out with, she believes the United States is cursed with violence because Native Americans who did blood sacrifice were cannibals and ate people. Now, this was reported on a Monday. It was the 14th of September when this came out. But she also believes that his prayer rally helped ease the curse. Her words were, "The land is starting to rejoice, you see, because of that prayer." And I don't understand that because in some cases I have known of where, I believe it was, I'm not sure where in Georgia it was at one point, a year or two or so ago, that they actually called for the American Indians to come in and do prayer so that they could have rain, because they knew that the prayer was so strong from the Native American culture that there was the possibility that it would bring the rain. Well, they got rain, and then they complained because they had too much rain.
Right.
But they got the rain.
Wow.
But, it was just, with her doing this, she is a self-proclaimed prophet, and she was an endorser of the event. So I don't know if her words have any real merit. You know, that's just her way, left-fielded thinking.
There is no such thing as a self-proclaimed prophet in the American Indian culture. Our prophets go back to long, long ago when the Sioux, the Hopi, the Apache, the Zuni had prophets by birth, and they were not self-proclaimed. They were born being able to see things that would occur ahead of time. They were born with a gift. They were born with being able to speak their prophecies. Much like and rightfully so, the woman that I admire so very much, Sylvia Brown, has wrote and spoke of her prophecies, but she has had every right to, because she was born with the gift, just like our American Indians, and remains that way, just like our American Indians. And she happens to love our culture very, very much. And this woman, Cindy Jacobs, is no prophet. Fake, yes. Phony, yes. But no prophet. And I really hope that she hears me loud and clear, because this is one person I would love to confront.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree.
She needs to be taken care of. And she needs to be shut up. And I can't help but say it that way. Thank you, Robert. I can't help but say it that way simply because this is a woman that is taking a culture within her own hands and acting as if she has the right to say this and does not.
Thank you.
And It would anger any American Indian, from any tribe, anywhere, to hear this woman say this, and it be said in the context to which that she said it. I certainly wish that she would call in, because I'd have plenty to say to her. But I imagine that will come in all due time.
I believe so. Now, see, she's not the only one. There are two more people that are named in this article.
Okay. Karen?
Yes.
You went out for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, these people are new apostolic reformation figures. John Benfield, or like John Benfield and Jay Swallow, participated in an event in Texas where they actually destroyed Native American artwork. And that was in order to divorce and tear down the principles of Baal, Asherah, and Leviathan. And I'm not sure exactly where those would come in. I kind of think they're kind of on the demonic side. I don't really study the demonic side of the paranormal field and stuff, or because I'm not, you know, I'm more interested in other things besides that. But anyway, but they destroyed artwork that were done by American Indians because they think, you know, according to what I see here, you know, they think it's some type of demonic whatever culture, but it's not. Nowhere near, you know, it doesn't even touch on that. Native American culture is more of a the belief is more in it's the creator, you know, and God. He's in everything, you know, birds, animals, grass, water, trees, so forth.
That's right. Do I understand this as saying that she called our culture demonic?
No, these other two, she didn't actually say that, but the two that I named, it was for similar to these two people. They were destroying Native American artwork in order to divorce or tear down the principles of Baal, Asherah, and Leviathan. And if I'm not mistaken, I know Baal is a demonic entity, but I'm not sure about the other two. I believe they are, but I would have to look because there's just so many names for demons that I'm just not familiar with them all.
Yes, there is. And our culture has never had anything demonic in it. It simply does not exist. We have, as just like you said, we have lived for nearly thousands of years living with Mother Earth in harmony, with Mother Earth in prayer. Our strongest thing that means so much to us is just that, our prayer. Even with or without our sacred pipe, it is still our strongest being in prayer. And there is no such thing. And these people, these things, need to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that she is still basically running her mouth as far as cannibals and this type of thing. Maybe this is what she does daily, but it's something that we as American Indians, you and I, and the American Indians of the United States don't even know anything about.
That's true. You know, I've seen, when I first seen this article, there was somebody else that had posted it, and then I ended up posting it myself for others to read.
Mm-hmm.
But the person that had posted it had said that they had been at a powwow, and a boy came up to them and said that had they not been eating the white people, then the white people would not have killed them. I was I'm disgusted with that because, see, with these people right here, for one, they don't know the history. And if they do know anything about the history, then they're reading into what they think.
Terrible. That's a terrible thing to have said to you.
No, it wasn't said to me. It was said to somebody.
No,
I'm sorry. I was just on a going.
No,
there.
No. I didn't mean you. I meant to the person that it was said to. That's a terrible thing to have said to you.
Right. It is, and it surprises me because you would think with as much history and the violence that's been done towards the Native American people in our culture, that people would be aware, but they're not. You know, and I don't know if it's because they just don't want to be aware, or they're just not paying attention to it, or they just don't want to know. But when someone like this steps up and says, "Oh yeah, they're cannibals," and the curse has been lifted because we did this prayer vigil and blah, 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 blah. You know, and you've got people that listen to them and then they see what they say is being right when in all reality that is nowhere near the truth. It doesn't even touch on what really happened. So,
I will say this. In my opinion, it would sound like to me that she is definitely involved in some type of an occult, because those are words that come out of people that belong to an occult, and they would say that about the American Indian simply because they are demonic within their own beings and their own selves, so that when they say something like this, it's out of stupidity, and they have no knowledge of our culture, so they're going to say things to cut it down, and our culture is thousands of years old and pure and has been in one with Mother Earth. To have someone like this come along and try to demise it and bring it down, and it can't be done. We have too many sacred tribes and people that would bring someone like her down.
Exactly. And see, it makes you know, cult-wise, I believe you're right. That was the first thing I thought of when I read all this.
Yes.
She also claims that birds are dying because of the don't ask, don't tell. So,
sorry, that's kind of funny when I see the plentiful of hawks and all our birds of prey. They are happy and flying and they sing and leaving our little sparrows were chirping today on my porch, and they're as happy as they can be. This woman, I would suggest, needs an exorcism or a psychiatric care immediately.
I definitely agree. And one of the other ones that I had mentioned earlier, Benefil, believes that the Statue of Liberty is a demonic idol. So, and they are self-proclaimed apostles, part of an apostolic reformation.
Oh.
So, see what we're getting into. See what we're going to have more run-ins with, and we're probably going to be hearing a lot more from these people. And they're quoting stuff about the American Indian culture that they know nothing about, and in my opinion, they're afraid of it.
So that's
like
what they're trying to do, it seems like to me, is form an occult group and bring more attention to themselves by bringing the American Indian belief down. They can't do that because our beliefs have been known for as long as, you know, our ancient ones have been with us and now in spirit, and they're trying to build something very evil that if they accomplish it, it will only be out of the evilness to which they live. But in all reality, it really will not hold, nor does it exist. It exists within themselves because that's the only place that you see it. You don't see the majority of human life on this earth in such a form of using these type of words. They love and cherish our heritage and are very interested in it. This is a group of people who are in an occult, demonic group of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. And, you know, I think I'm going to kind of lighten this up just a little bit.
Okay.
Because I found a comment that was made on this, and I find it quite amusing. I'm not going to say this person's name.
Right.
But they said, in their response to this, they said, yes, wow, being Native and possibly, quote-unquote, a savage cannibal, since the curse is broken, maybe I should invite her over to dinner. And in parentheses, not on a menu item, of course, and offer her a hand by having them rejoice the release of the curse. Hmm. they were just being really sarcastic on that,
really,
but I liked the way
right.
it was written. It was very, it was
right.
written very well.
Yes. Well, it's people like that, they'll come and they'll go, and I guess that's the way that maybe we should look at it until we're confronted by them.
Exactly, I think. I agree with you 100% on that. And, you know, I think that what I want to say is if anybody comes in contact with anybody like this, tell them that they need to do their research on the history of the American Indians instead of believing what someone else says, because, no, American Indians are not cannibalistic, never has been, never will be.
No.
So I think that they need to have a reality check, these people do, because they're way off on their word.
Yeah, they're pretty well out there.
Yes, they are.
I can't help but say that too. They need more than they need a check real good.
Yes, they do. I most definitely agree with that 100%.
These are people that when we do come across them, we have to deal with them on a much more intelligent, mature level than what they are on.
Mm-hmm.
Which to say that I'm really saying that their level of thinking is very low, and they do not know what they're speaking of, and so we as all American Indians in this country will know, instead of getting angry and fighting, that something we should deal with them as if they're in an insane asylum, and we're on the outside, because that's basically where they're at in their mind anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think any real talking to them is going to change their ways as far as what they think of, you know, of our culture. But, you know, I wanted people to be aware that this lady's out there and she's doing interviews and she's telling people this. So just be very aware of Cindy Jacobs. And I think that
she's from Texas, you said?
She is in Texas.
My goodness. And I am so surprised, because Texas has so many native tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But, you know, I don't think she's going to get very far. I think somebody's going to set her straight. And what's going to happen is there's going to end up being a lot of people that are going to confront her because they're angry because of her words. So that's what it's going to end up being and I think it's just a matter of time before it does happen.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. And knowing the Texas natives, the Comanche, the Kiowas, the Arapaho, they don't stand for people like her.
No, they definitely not. Well, I tell you what, I think we've given her enough airtime. So we're going to move on from her and let her be. And we're going to head into talking about about aliens.
Okay.
I know we've gone from about three. This makes the third topic this evening, but, you know, we had a lot to say because we had been on air in a couple weeks. So I found an interesting video that was on YouTube. There was eight or nine parts to it, and it had to do with the Roswell, New Mexico crash. Yeah, it's quite interesting, and they said that they did not think that they did remove bodies, one of which did not make it, one that they believe they took to Area 51. And in this video, they showed where they were doing a series of questioning with this being. And it was done telepathic. they had another person that was in there that was doing this and was relaying the message. They did take out the voice, the voices in it, because the person that they had given this out did not want these people to be known who they were, because they said their families might realize who they were by their voices.
Right.
And this started back in the early, somewhere in the 1990s was when this started. Not the alien itself, but it started coming out then.
Right, right.
But I found it interesting because they had kept them, and I know there's a series of bases all across the United States that are for this type of research, but they were saying that, how should I put this? They were even, some of the aliens were actually in control of some of these bases, and that there was an incident at one where the military people were going to see the other ones, and as they walked on to this base, they'd had some type of little, they said it was like a shield or something, and they had an issue with the guards because the guards had a gun, both of them had guns on them, and they were worried about the shells inside the guns. Well, they went to walk on into it, and I don't think that it's a that it's been written down. Well, I'm sure it's been written down, but I think it's hard to find. You wouldn't be able to find it on open internet. But there was three people died that day because they walked into this electrical, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So I've been doing a lot of reading and watching these videos, and I just find it really, really interesting.
Right.
And I'm trying to think, because there was just so much to that I can't remember everything. But the man that was doing the interviews was not letting everybody, he didn't want his face seen, he didn't want his voice, they had to distort his voice. When he come on, he was actually on Coast to Coast.
Uh-huh.
And for me, if you get on Coast to Coast, you know, that's one of the ultimate radio shows, you know, especially
yes.
for paranormal UFO people.
Yes.
So he was on Coast to Coast, and I haven't found that yet. And I'm going to go and look and see if I can't find those the audio to that and listen to it and see what he says.
Right.
But he talked about that they were flying some of these UFOs. The military was testing it, and it was just one thing after another with it. But they call them EBE-1s, is what they call them, and it's extraterrestrial biological entities. That's what the name is for them, and I just find the whole thing about aliens really interesting.
Right. Right. I know that my son has a deep interest. There is, I believe he is a scientist and many other titles that he carries. Very intelligent gentleman that I have grown to admire him. I believe his name is George Sukalo, and he has studied this for years and years. Highly intelligent gentleman, very knowledgeable gentleman, someone I would love to sit down and talk with. But if you watch the program online on Ancient Aliens, he discusses the formation that aliens took hundreds of years ago, and this is something that just recently another native tribe, if I have my information correct, I know my son will correct me if I'm not, when they were speaking of where they came from, they have an actual cave rock picture where the native is standing with his finger pointing up, meaning they came from up there. This particular program is so interesting because this has been said time that they come from that all in all, the American Indian and so on, that is, you hear the Fallen Star, the Fallen Star Brothers, the Fallen
mm-hmm.
Star people, because they come from up there, not down here on Earth. This is where it has been proven that there are cave drawings that can prove that we came from another place and we came to Earth to create life, and in doing so maybe went too far as technology is concerned, but there is proof that they are in another dimension than us, but there is I must be saying it wrong because my son says something. Another, you can help me, Karen. Not dimension. Solar system. He said it for me. And well, I'd give the phone to you, but
you know, we have Catherine on line too. She said that she listened to the Coast to Coast show that we were talking about. Someone bring her on while we're on.
Okay. That's great.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Good.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, hon.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, I know what you're talking about with the Coast to Coast. It was not long ago. I believe it was earlier this year. I saw on YouTube where the host of Coast to Coast first thought this man was insane when he called in, but then towards the end of the show, he believed him. How it went was there was a man who called in from, I believe it was in Arizona, and he was on the highway. And he called in the Coast to Coast, and he was frantic, and he kept saying, he says, I got to tell you what's really happening at Area 51. I'm running. I'm in fear of my life.
Okay.
And he says, I have to say as much as I can, as quick as I can. And he said, on Area 51, he says, they have been in contact and working with the aliens since 1955.
Wow.
And he said that they are the ones that are causing a lot of the problems that are on Earth, such as disasters. And he went on to explain how the government actually gave the aliens permission to kidnap people and work on them and experiment on them in turn for the knowledge. That's why we are so advanced as far as we are. The host on Coast to Coast kept asking him questions, and the man, he said, were you working there? And the man said, yes. He said, I was working there, but he said, I didn't approve of what they were doing, and he said, that's why I'm running now. And so the host was kind of like, you know, making fun of him in an indirect manner. And the man frantically was screaming and hollering and crying on the phone. And he said, I got to go. They're coming after me. He said, oh, my God, I got to go. And the line went dead. And then what made the host of Coast to Coast believe it is because all of a sudden the power to their tower went dead. There was no communication for, I think, about a couple minutes. And when they kicked in their backup power to keep broadcasting, all of a sudden, the regular power went back on. And he said, you know, he says, I didn't believe the man, but he says, I believe him now. He said, because it can't be coincidental that, you know, when he screamed, they're coming to get me, he went off and our power went off at the same time. He says, there's got to be some truth to this.
Mm-hmm. And see, that kind of feeds into the one where we were talking, was a few, it was what, a few days ago, yesterday, something like that, when I brought up Dulce, New Mexico, and the installment military base that's underneath that peak up there. And when I watched that, that really piqued my interest, because they were saying that there were people that were going in there that someone else found a man that was in a cage, and then realized later on that he was listed as a missing person.
Missing person, yes.
Well, I definitely believe in that. I had for years, you know, you always hear about the Mothman and the Lizard Man in Wisconsin. We have just about all of them. And I always said for years, and a lot of other psychics besides myself have said the same thing, that we believe the government experiments on people.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are out there are the ones that escaped. You know, so there's a lot of things our government does. I know many years ago when I used to go to New Mexico to see my family, my brother and I went out to the desert to meditate, because I always managed to get the Indian spirits to come to me. And so a couple of years later, I told my brother, I said, let's go back out to the desert. And Arnold says, you don't want to do that. And I said, yes, I do. So finally he said, okay. He says, you can do it if you want. So he took us out, and before I knew, I heard alarms going off, jeeps were coming everywhere, and I was looking down a barrel of a gun, and it was the military. And they said, what are you doing here? And my brother just kind of said, oh, he said, I didn't realize this was military ground. He said, oh, I'm sorry. So they stayed there until we left, and, well, Arnold knew it, and he thought it was funny, but I didn't think it was funny, all right? When he just said, he says, Kathy, he says, I'm just showing you how the military is taking over the desert. He says, you can hardly go anywhere without running into military. So you know something is going on. And also about 3 years ago, I was out in the desert with my brother again, and we go out UFO hunting. And we saw from the mountainside, some UFOs came out. My brother said, now watch these UFOs. And the UFOs came out, and they act like normal UFOs. And then from the desert side, which would have been our left side, came out some other UFOs. And he said, now watch these. And I'll be darned, they were different. They were they couldn't do the angles speeding up or shooting up straight quickly into the air like the regular UFOs. And he said, that's government UFO. Those are real UFOs. So I sat there, and I actually saw the difference between the two UFOs. And trust me, there's a lot going out in that desert that people are not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially New Mexico, Arizona, those areas. Yeah, we had, when I was in Arizona, used to go hiking pretty much daily. And I was warned about one of the canyons out there. I was told, you don't go to that canyon because, you know, you won't, basically you just won't come back. And was told that that there was a military base out there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And
in the Mesa, I know in the Mesa in New Mexico, they got things happening there that is really strange, shall we say, putting it nicely.
Mhm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then, you know, they always talked about the black helicopters and the men in black. And there's no markings on them whatsoever.
Well, we had this year in Wisconsin, we had a couple of UFO sightings. I know I saw one several months ago. Well, I've seen quite a few. I've actually had them hovered over the house. But When there were several UFOs reported in our area where I live, like about several days later, I'm in the house and I'm hearing heavy choppers. And I'm going, what the heck is that? I mean, this was not a normal chopper. And I went out, and sure enough, there was the black chopper, blackened out windows, flying low over all the houses. This went on for several days. And all of a sudden, they just took off and you didn't hear about it anymore, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know, that it's strange because I noticed, yeah, that they do fly very low, and it's almost like they're under what FCC or whatever you call them, their right. radar would be, because they're down low. I mean, low enough you can look up and you can actually see the windows. I mean, you can't see through them, that's for sure. And you can see the bottoms of these helicopters. And I studied them. I mean, they flew over top of me, and I was sitting in the desert on a rock, of all places, because it was just a nice day, and we'd been out hiking, and that's where I decided to just sit down on that rock, and I had closed my eyes, and I was just taking in everything around me by listening to it, and then I heard, I don't know if I actually heard it. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but something, because they're quiet. They're kind of quiet, too. So...
Yes,
some of them,
the helicopters are quiet.
Some of them, they actually shook my house. They were so big, so heavy, so low, my whole house shook. That's why I went outside looking. And I've had my phone tapped already. That's why I don't talk about when I see a UFO, I keep pretty much to myself, so does my brother. My stepsister Gabriella now, she was an abductee, and she has an interesting story about she was impregnated, and she was sleeping in her bedroom. Her husband was with her. He even said he saw it. They were paralyzed, and she said that the aliens came down, the grays came down. They took Gabby literally through her bedroom wall up. And they took, I believe the child was about 3 or 4 months old, they took the child from her. Now, she went to her doctor the next day, and it's on a medical record that he said, Gabby, he says, where's the baby? What did you do to the baby? She said, I didn't do anything. She says, if I tell you, you're going to laugh at me. He says, well, try me. And he told her, and he says, I believe it. He says, because not only is your baby gone, one of your ovaries are gone. So this, so it's on medical records. And my niece was abducted. You can't even talk to her about it. She freaks out. There's so much stuff going on that the government's letting the aliens do. They're not just doing it. The government gave them permission.
Yeah, that I did. When I listened to the videos the other day, it talked about how they had given them permission to come and do these experiments and so forth. And it just gets me because, you know, they think that we shouldn't know this stuff, so they keep it from us. And then when we see it, you know, then you get like what you got, you know, the helicopters over your house, or they're knocking at your door, or what have you. So, you know, it's just, there's so much out there, I think, that we don't know that they're hiding from us. And I've heard people, when I was in Arizona, would tell, you know, I'd hear them say, well, the grays, they're here, they walk among us, they look like us, but they're here.
Well, that's actually, sadly, that's what the aliens have been before the time of Christ. You look at all the old ancient texts and paintings, they have pictures of little UFOs in the background of it. The most famous one is the Madonna. You see it on there.
That's true, and it's even on the, it dates back as far as the Native American pictoglyphs and so forth, and we just lost Catherine, so she'll call back in just a minute.
Well, I will share this until she comes back. You know, about before, this was in the early spring, I was looking out my window, and I heard, somewhat of a copter. It wasn't loud. They are silent, but what happened was I was standing at what I call my think window. I think a lot when I stare at the trees and I, you know, about life, problems, things like that. But nevertheless, here comes a helicopter, all in black, everything in black. It came down so low that he was actually level to me at the window, and the door opened, the side door opened, and he looked right at me and had a camera in his hand. And this this person was looking right at my face, and I was staring right up into his face. That's how low he got to my house, and he took pictures. And I yelled for my son. He came to the window, and he said, "That's Camp Perry over there," because we only live about 8 minutes from Camp Perry, the CIA FBI training center. And he said, "Don't worry, our phones are tapped." And I said, I didn't doubt that, but to see a solid black helicopter, no name, nothing written on it, nothing, and black windows, until he opened the window, that was all, that was the only light I saw. And this person that was sitting at the edge of the helicopter literally had a large camera, and he was taking pictures of me staring at him. And
that's
I think it's because my son is so interested in ancient aliens, and me being, an American Indian, and he obviously he too, that Camp Perry has, well, they do have us on a list, and I know that for a fact, but they wiretapped our phone at the same time. I found that out later.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the phone company came out, and I had two gentlemen come out from the phone company talking to each other in my yard, and I had the windows wide open, and I was standing there, and one looks at the other and goes, "I don't think it's the CIA. I think it's the FBI."
Oh, my
gosh. And this is what they were saying, and I was standing there going, "Oh, my gosh." And it hit me, the helicopter, what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I feel sorry for them, because if they heard half the conversation from my so-called mother that I do not get along with, they are very bored people. Karen knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We got Catherine back, so I'm going to bring her back in. And if you don't mind, I'm going to extend the show by 30 minutes, because this is we're having a really good conversation about this.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Back again. I have to agree with Joel. What's so funny is because I have had my lines tapped, all right?
Yep.
And you can always tell when they're tapped. I don't care.
Yes.
You hear it? You hear that?
That
we
was something. Not
and,
only that.
But the thing is, with my niece, we were talking about, and even my stepsister Gabby, we were talking. And I was telling her, I said, my lines are tapped, and I said to Gabby, beforehand, I said, let's have some fun with the government. I said, if we hear, because you get a hollow feedback, all right?
Yes.
And when we heard this hollow feedback, Gabby and I had this planned ahead of time. We were going to have some fun with the government. So I said, Gabby, you know what's going to happen? And she goes, what? I said, they're coming tonight. And she goes, what? I said, the UFOs are coming tonight. The aliens are coming tonight. She goes, really? And I said, yeah, you know what we're going to do? And she went, what? I said, we're going to have a barbecue. And you should have heard that phone click real quick. Went cut off really fast. We laughed so hard. And I said the same thing Joel did. I said, the government must be hard up and bored to death that they have to tap the lines of an average citizen. But we got back at them. We got back, and we laughed so hard. It wasn't funny. Oh, God. I tell you, it is pathetic when you think about it, And full well, they're listening into our conversation now.
Yes,
I didn't
have
to be. I mean, how come all of a sudden I got cut off for no apparent reason?
Exactly.
They think the American people are fools. The time of fooling the American people is over, long over. We're not buying air balloons. We're not buying any of this. There's so much on YouTube that people, with our phones, even our little cameras we carry with us, it's all over the world.
Yes.
And this year, it seems, I've been keeping an eye on it like you have, Karen, because I belong to a couple UFO newspapers, and I get the information all the time. And it's happening everywhere. Not only that, aliens are literally appearing on the ground. If you look at YouTube, you'll see it constantly happening. I believe Mexico has caught a lot of them. South America. I'm trying to think of some of the European countries, but not as much as the Latin countries for whatever reason. Japan and China have been getting them. In fact, I just saw one not long ago, I think it was several days ago, on YouTube, that people can check it out, where it was some Chinese people, a whole bunch of people got this on their phones, and it was like a wall, and you could see this little gray just running back and forth. At first, you know, they were saying, oh, it's fake, but it got onto the Chinese news station. And, you know, they had the subtitles underneath what they were saying in Chinese, and they were saying, we have verified that this is not a fake picture. And you could see this little gray, it was almost as if he was caught and he was trying to get away. And all of a sudden he ran and he just disappeared. Just boom, that was it, he was gone. And they had a couple other pictures of that. I'm trying to think, one was here in the United States, I can't remember what state it was, where a man thought he saw something running in the bushes, he and another guy, and he had a camera, and he was grabbing it, and it just ran so fast, and all of a sudden you heard this, like, growling sound, and the man took off. He was scared to death. He just took off. Now, all of this is on YouTube. If people really want to find out what's been going on, just check YouTube. Grant you, you're always going to get some baloney on there, always. I mean, you always got some idiot that's trying to be a smartass. You just have to, it's a matter of using your own common sense and figuring out, yeah, this is real or it isn't. Now, I have a lot of friends in England, and they've been telling me that they're spotting UFOs like crazy over there. You have to wonder if the Bible isn't correct about 2:12. I'm not saying we're coming to an end. I'm just saying that you have to wonder because of all the sightings between UFOs, and I just got done talking to a few people on Facebook who are telling me some horror stories of ghosts that are just, they never had ghosts before, but the ghosts are picking up, they're acting up, and I told them, I said, you know what this reminds me of? I said, I don't know who wrote the movie, but whoever wrote it back in the 80s knew what they were talking about, and I said, this sounds just like Ghostbusters. I'm not trying to be funny. But think about the movie Ghostbusters and how the activity, spiritual activity and UFO activity picked up. And think about what next year is. You know, it kind of makes you wonder what's happening. Now, another thing my sister told me that her and her husband, I think it was about 5-6 years ago, they were watching, they had a telescope, and they were looking out at, in the New Mexico sky, and they were looking, at the end of the Big Dipper, and they saw what seemed to be a porthole, and they were watching UFOs fly in and out of this porthole, and my sister said there were two different type of UFOs. She said the UFOs were literally in battle. And by this time, I guess most of her neighborhood came out, and they were with binoculars and whatever they could see. They said the same thing. They said, look at it. These UFOs are flying in and out of this porthole, battling. Now, it kind of makes you wonder what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your take is on it, but I'm just telling you what I've been related, what's been related to me.
What do you think, Jolene?
Well, I think... I remember that particular item being on TV. I remember them putting that on the news when that portal had alien war going on between them, and people were out in the street watching it in New Mexico. I remember that. It wasn't that far long ago that came on the TV. And as far as, you know, I know that I hadn't gone in the hospital yet, and I'm going to say this with a laugh, so I knew that I hadn't come home, you know, and been on my prescription pain medicine from from my operation. So I knew I was okay. This was before I went in, and I looked over it in an empty field that we have, and it was just getting dark and getting darker and darker as the minutes went by, and I saw this light, and it was this shiny gold oblong, just pure oblong thing. And on it, it had red and green along the side of it. And I was standing there, and I guess my mouth dropped open, and it was silent. There was no sound. Mm-hmm. And I kept calling my son's name, come here, come here. There's this thing out in the field. And he said, again, it's probably Camp Perry. And I said, no, I don't think so. This was hiding in what we call the old BMX. There's nothing but forest and woods for miles. And we went out there the next day, and you could just see barely where it had cleared the land when it evidently came down. Just a slight bit of clearance. And I stood there, and I went, I really saw what I saw. And it lifted up, and it I'll be darned if it didn't go straight toward Camp Perry, but it did. And it was in silence, but it lifted up so quietly, and you could just barely see a brush blowing. And I myself was in shock. But that confirmed what I had been watching with my son on Ancient Aliens with George Tsoukalos, talking about how, you know, we came from up there, the fallen star people, not down here on Earth. And it wasn't scary. It didn't scare me as much as I had never seen anything like it. But if I were to see it again, this time I would probably try to approach it, because it would be interesting enough to want to see the whole thing. And that was my experience just recently. And then I said to my son, the veil is getting thinner. The veil is getting thinner for earthbound spirits. It's getting thinner for ghosts. It's getting thinner for angry spirits. You feel them more. You can sometimes, even aberrations, see them more. The veil, as we go into 2012, as Catherine said, it's itself thinning out, because at some point between October the 11th of this year and December 21st of next year, that veil is going to be completely gone, and we're going to be seeing our ancestors and other things such as aliens, things like that, that we're going to be dealing with, and it's going to happen.
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. I didn't know if she was done or not. What I wanted to say, see, I'm a Druid, and Druids know that April 15th, the veil is even thinner than it is at Halloween.
Okay.
So when April 15th comes around, you're going to really find things happening. Now, I don't know if the two of you have noticed. I've noticed the last couple of weeks on Facebook, and I know this isn't, I mean, I know people always get mad and blow up, all right? But there has to be something out there that's irritating people more than normal.
Right.
I'm watching almost every day people on Facebook blowing up, just simply blowing up, tempered. It's not normal. And I can't help but wonder if subconsciously, because all these people are in the paranormal field to begin with, Mm-hmm. And anyone who's in a paranormal field outside of ghost hunters, who are like we are, who are sensitives, know you can feel something in the air. And I've been feeling it. And every night I usually around 10 o'clock walk my dog. And a couple times I've actually noticed the atmosphere from not at my house but past my house. There was it's like extremely thick, almost where you couldn't see through it. And I backed off and I walked away and I went, I'm not going through that. I just went home and shut the door and said, nope, that's not it. I'm not going to do it. So last night I went out. Everything was all right. And like any dog, my dog likes to pull. And on the way back, I felt like I was walking in a void. And I noticed my dog stopped at a complete stop, and she didn't want to move. And I forced her to move, and she kept looking like around, and she whined. She was whining. And it stayed like that till just before I got to my home, and it just kind of like walked from a mist into light again.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something going on out there. I think a lot of people are losing their tempers because they're not aware of things like we are, okay? So it gets to them.
Right.
I'm noticing it more and more. I'm sure especially the Native Americans are probably more in tune with it than anyone. Being that I'm a Druid and I'm raised as a Druid, yeah, I've been sensitive to it my whole life. And I'll tell you, for a while I thought I was losing my mind. You know, I thought, okay, you know, my imagination's running away with it. You know, being an author, you know, you kind of wonder about, you know, if it's your imagination or if it's fact. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to people like Karen, like you, Joel, other people who are highly sensitive as we are, and we start comparing notes, I began to realize I'm not crazy. There is something happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I know the two of you because I really start questioning my sanity. And I sit back and I'm trying to tell people, like I told my friend in England, I said to her, I said, you know, because she was telling me tonight that her granddaughter, at her granddaughter's home, they were watching TV and a metallic balloon dropped out of the ceiling in front of the TV. And they don't know why. And I went, uh-oh. I said, that's not good.
No.
And my daughter-in-law, Mei Lin, 2 days ago had a, she's trying to break the smoking habit, so she had that artificial cigarette with her. And she's puffing it, and all of a sudden it flew out of her hand, stood in the middle of the air, and disappeared. And, of course, she calls me up knowing what I am, and she goes, Ma, what happened? And I said, well, I said, it can be one of a couple of things. I said, either a spirit, I said, a shadow person, or a fire folk, which means fairy. And she says, but Ma, she says, I took my clothes off, thinking it got caught in my clothes. I checked the whole house. She said her son's girlfriend was there. She freaked out. And they checked the whole house, couldn't find anything. And she said, an hour later, she was standing at the kitchen sink, and it just dropped right behind her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then she said what kind of freaked her out was because she went and she turned on the computer and Facebook just came up. She didn't even log into Facebook. It just flew up on the computer. And on the computer on Facebook, the little cursor from the mouse was
mm-hmm.
pointing right at my name and my picture. And she said, now she goes, Ma, what are the odds of that? And I went, okay. I said, there's a lot of things going on. And I think I'm being told to keep my attention on everything. I think I would like to hear from other people, your other listeners out there, if they're noticing things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get off the phone, and hopefully some of your other listeners will call in with their experience on UFOs or if they've noticed the paranormal a little more active than normal. So I will say goodnight. And thank you for letting me talk on your show, and I'll turn it over to you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on anytime, Catherine.
Okay, hon. Well, okay. I'll leave the line open for other people.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I do enjoy talking to her. She's a really great lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know what she's was talking about the mist that her doggy saw, that happened here last night. And I opened up the front door because my son had stepped out by our truck, and he was watching it. And I looked at it, and I said, Robert, I think it'd be a good idea if you got inside. He said, no. He said, I don't know what this is. He said, but it doesn't look natural. It's not fog. He said, I don't know what it is, but it's so thick you can't see through it. And I said, that's why I stayed behind the door. And I said, because I'm not, you know, strong enough yet to battle whatever it could be. And he said, you stay behind the door. And I said, I am. But it was very, very thick. You could not see through it at all. And it was strange. And all you could barely see was the street light, which it had turned it yellow and dim. And it was a strange thickness. And he stood out by the truck just staring at it. And I don't know if it scared me as much as it mystified me why it was coming this way and thickening. You couldn't even see people's yards. And I knew exactly what she was talking about because it happened here last night, and it was really strange.
Mm-mm-mm. See, I think I've not seen... Of course, we have fog here, but, you know, ours not like what you were describing because, see, we're on the lake. So, you know, it's nothing to get up in the mornings and there'd be fog in the area. But I'll tell you something that happened the other night. And this was, my daughter had to go down to her friend's house, wanted to go, 10:30 at night, was going to go get, yeah,
I can hear it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, it was kind of an odd evening. I mean, it was just the feeling of it was weird.
Yeah.
So she had to have her volleyball that she had left down there. So she went. And I sat here for a couple minutes, and my mother, and of course, I mean, I was thinking this too, that I needed to follow her down there. But my mother tells me, she said, go, go, go.
Right.
So I went ahead and I put my shoes on and I went out the door, and I followed her down to her friend's house. Well, my daughter, and this was kind of funny, but at the same time, I'm glad that she was very aware. She said she heard somebody behind her. And I was trying to stay kind of at a distance so I could watch her at the same time because
right.
I didn't want her to get in trouble. She took off running because she said she knew somebody was following her. She didn't know who it was. She didn't even look back. She just took off.
Right.
So on the way back, we had went a different way around, and we come back. And you know when you get those feelings, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that it just kind of don't feel right. Well, we done that. Of course, we had a vehicle that kind of scared us. And it scared me to the point that even after I got inside the house, now we took off. Now, mind you, I'm a chunky girl. I don't run, but I do like to walk. And we took off running. So I was worried I was going to get home, but I was more concerned about my daughter, and I knew there was something not right with these people in this vehicle because they kept going different areas and around, and you could just hear them, and it was real frightening. But it scared me to the point that even when I went outside later to take the dogs out and I heard that car, I was back through the door.
Do you want me to try to call in with my other phone?
No, I don't think it's your phone that's doing it.
Yeah, it's the die.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, Jolene will be joining us back in just a minute. Of course, everybody heard her phone was dying, so she's going to switch phones. But with what we were discussing earlier and what... she was saying about the veil being thinner, I think that there's, I think it is. I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more stuff, you know, a lot more spirits and ghosts. You know, we're going to hear them, we're going to feel them, we're going to see them. And even UFO-wise, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of that, too. When we were in Arizona a few years ago, standing on the back balcony, there was a balcony at my mother's apartment that she had, and was outside on the balcony, and there was a light up in the sky, and it wasn't a plane, and it wasn't a star. It was just, it was kind of weird how it all was acting, because it was real slow. It moved real, real slow across the sky, and it was just, I don't know. But anyway, I guess you all see that I'm not really used to being online by on air by myself. So I'm just kind of jabbering until she gets back on. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in, tell us anything while we're waiting on Jolene to call back, please feel free to do so. Again, like I said, I'm not used to actually just sitting and talking alone, because I've always had somebody on air with me. But back to the UFO things, this was just different. I mean, it didn't act like a plane. It didn't go across the sky like a regular plane would be. Let's see. I have a question from Silver Lining. Do you think the thinning veil, that means there will be a greater need for people doing intuitive work, psychic healers, etc.? Well, I'm in agreement with Catherine. I don't really think so. There are going to be a lot more people feeling it, and the ones that are intuitive and psychic, they probably going to be hearing a lot more from the spirits and so forth. Yes, Catherine, please do call back. And Silver Lining, if you've got the phone number to the show, feel free to call in too. I mean, if you want to ask the question on air as well, that would be great. And you can tell us a little bit about you. Are you psychic or intuitive yourself? Thank you, Catherine. I appreciate that. Now, it's odd now. I've been doing radio shows for 2 years, but I get nervous at the thoughts of even being on by myself. So you kind of have to overlook me momentarily. Oh, okay. That's nice. How long have you been, or how long have you realized that you were intuitive? Has it been since you were a child, or did you figure that out from the time you were at a different age, will take you a little bit older, or what have you? So, sorry for the dead air, people. I'm kind of trying to figure out what to talk about now. Now, I will tell you a story about something that happened to my brother and I when we were little. I was probably about 7, 8 years old, maybe. Actually, maybe I was a little bit older than that. We were both in separate rooms, and we both had gotten ready to go to bed. And I was looking out the window in my room. He was looking out the window in his room. And we saw, and it was just 4 red lights. There were 4 of them. It didn't quite make us squares or what have you, but 2 of them were closer, 2 of them were farther apart. And they were taking... each were going about taking and swinging down in front of each other and doing different types of things, looping around and so forth. And at one point it came down, it looked like it was coming towards the window. And that scared us really bad. We both went running from our rooms at pretty much the same time, screaming because we had seen this and didn't know what it was. And my father later on told us that it was weather balloons. Here we go. We have Miss Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
I'm back to help you. Go ahead with your story.
Oh, they were just, it was just, my dad was telling us they were weather balloons, but these were just solid red lights in the sky. Two of them were close together at the top, and then there were two at the bottom, which were further apart. And they were dipping, you know, and they were taking turns doing this. They were dipping out. One would do different little moves in the sky and then go back, and the other one would do the same. And then finally there was one, it came completely down. It looked like it was coming straight towards the window. And when it did, that's the last I looked at it. I took off. So I'm pretty certain that was an UFO at the time.
Oh, undoubtedly. I have a question for Silver Lining. If she hears me, can you hear me?
She can hear you.
Okay. Now, you said you've been intuitive since you were a child. Have you noticed yourself in the last year that things are changing around you? Sometimes you see, you can feel things, you hear things more than normal. She said, "Yes, I can." All right, I've been I myself, and Karen can vouch for this because the last several weeks I've been working with Karen. Mm-hmm. I've been having visions flashing in front of me. And I'm not a Native American. I'm an Irishman, all right? And I've been having visions of Native Americans right in front of me. I mean, I can be doing housework, and all of a sudden I'll see, like, a Native American man and woman. They're elders. And I'll see them, like, on a side profile, and all of a sudden the face turns to me, and they smile, they nod their head, and they're gone. Now, I've also been seeing people that I don't know, from other parts of the world. I can see him, one individual, Karen knows who it is, I can't mention the name, pacing back and forth. I had a spirit constantly after me to write to this person. I didn't know how to write to this person, how to contact this person. This spirit literally guided me on a computer how to find it, where to find this person, and what to say. Now, I'm wondering, Silver Lining, if you've had something similar to this, because Karen and I both been experiencing this.
That's an interesting question. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
She isn't responding to that question. It would be really interesting to have people who are listening to you right now, if you have an interesting story, even if you don't want to come on the air, if you're radio shy, write to Karen and tell her some of your stories. I'm sure in time, when she can, in a couple weeks from now, can put something together, you know, and read some of your stories on the air for you.
Mm-hmm. We'd more than gladly do that. And, Catherine, thank you for coming back on.
No problem. Whenever you need to sign off, just let me know. I've been on enough radio shows, so it doesn't bother me.
Well, you would think that I could do it without it bothering me, but I have always been used to having somebody else on air, whether it be whether I'm the one being interviewed or I'm interviewing and I've got our guest and then the co-host on with me. So when I'm on by myself like that, I think I kind of panic because I don't know what to talk about.
Well, when it comes to the paranormal, I can probably talk the whole night considering I'm born and raised in it. I've seen it all, you know. I kind of laugh at a lot of the people who are now in the paranormal. I'm not talking about Silver Lining. I'm talking about, you know, I get on Facebook or YouTube, and I watch some of the things they do, and it just makes me cringe. Even some of the TV shows, which I won't mention names because we can get in trouble, but some of the TV shows, some of the antics they do, it's like you people don't realize what you're asking for. You know, you're leaving yourself open to attack. It makes me very nervous because it's a very dangerous field to be in, and it's not to be taken lightly. And I'm sure Silver Lining will agree with me, as I know you do, Karen.
Yes, definitely, 100%. You know, it what you see on TV is not what it is, you know, in person. I mean, some of the shows, yes, they show you how it's done, but you don't, most don't get what can happen after the fact once they've been in there. In some cases, there's been investigators that have gone into homes and these spirits have followed them home, you know, or they've had terrible stuff happen to them, such as, you know, in one case, I know that with the leaders of my group, two of them in particular did a case, and it was a very bad case, but they had things that happened to them after the fact. I mean, this entity was trying to stop them from even going to it.
Well,
and
Lula Locking just made a statement, which is true. She said that they don't explain to the viewers about what can happen with that stuff, and that's true.
That's
people
got
to remember one thing with TV shows. They have producers, and producers, what do they want to do? They want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we would be in a haunted place, and we might go like that real quick because it does startle you. They want you to do more. They want you to scream several times and act like an idiot. And it is very dangerous. I know on the last time I was on your show, I mentioned this, but I don't think people heard me too well because I had a sore throat at that time and I was more or less mumbling. Karen knows this story, and I'm going to tell it real quick. I was working with a man who was a well-known psychic here in Milwaukee. He lived into the paranormal long before any of these shows and groups were out there. And we went to a house in downtown Milwaukee, which is now torn down. And it was a mansion, and it was known that there was a murder there. It was an Irish tycoon that I don't know if it was his wife he murdered or a girlfriend, but he murdered her. And Carl didn't tell me about anything about the building. We were with some UWM students, and we went in and we examined the house. Everything was nice and quiet, and we got upstairs, and I noticed one of the girls from UWM was like pushed, and I in my mind, because ghosts can read your mind, I said to him, "Leave her alone," and she got pushed a second time. And I said, "Leave her alone." Well, by this time, the young man who was taking pictures with the camera had the camera knocked out of his hand. And I, like a fool, doing the number one no-no, lost my temper. And ghosts feed off on temper and fear. And I lost my temper, and I yelled verbally. I said, "You leave him alone." I said, "These students are not to be harmed." And I screamed at it. So I went down the steps, and I jumped over the third step because it's where I felt the woman was murdered. And after I jumped over the third step, when I landed on the floor, I was picked up in the air, slammed against the wall, and I had hands around my throat. The ghost was trying to kill me. I won't get into everything what I said and did. Let's just say that I knew what I was doing, and I knew what to say and do. And Reverend Schultz was there, and he was doing what he had to do. And between the two of us, we got the ghost to drop me. Of course, needless to say, that the UWM students were out the door and left just Carl and I there alone. And by the time I got out the door, one of the UWM students looked at me, and they said, "Catherine, you got handprints around your throat." And I said, "Yes, I know." Now, this is not the first time this has happened to me. It doesn't happen often. Most paranormal cases are not violent, majority of them. But I can't emphasize enough that people should do research on the property before they go in so they know what they're dealing with. It's just like a police officer before he goes into a house with a gunman. He's got to know how he's armed, you know, how many people are in there. What's the same thing? People who do not research before they go in are fools. Long and short of it. I've been attacked. I've had ghosts follow me home. I've been attacked. I can only say to anyone who goes into this field, research, 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 and take precautions before you go in and when you come out.
I agree with you on that 100%. And we are at the end of the show.
Oh, all right, then I can hang up and leave you on your own.
Well, you can stay on if you want.
Well, I just want to thank Silver Lining for being such a sweetheart and, you know, expressing her opinions. Karen always welcomes other people's opinions. She's very open-minded. She's a great gal.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you for coming back on when I got into a little bit of trouble there and didn't know what to say.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. It's been a fun night, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Mm-hmm.
And next time we'll do a two-hour show instead of an hour and a half. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening this evening, and hope everybody has a great night. And with that being said, good evening, and we'll see y'all next week.
Well, I don't know how many times he taught her a lesson that she learned. Maybe a little too well, cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you in time. Soon enough, you're gonna know why. It's gonna home and babies. He started coming home late at night. She didn't let him see it break her heart. She didn't let him see her fall apart. 'Cause cowgirls don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life are gonna show you in time. Soon enough, come home. This is it. I think he's dying. She laid the phone down by his head. The last words that he said, cowgirl, don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life, sure, it's all in time. Soon gotta let you know why.